For our scripture reading this morning, you would turn with me to Luke chapter 19, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people who saw this began to mutter, "He has gone to be with a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Several times in Jesus' ministry, something occurred that brought across his mind, "This is what I came here for." And we've looked at six of them so far. I thought really six would be the number, but there are more that I'd like to look at before we're done. Times that it strikes Jesus, "This is what I came for." And in this case, he sees a person saved, brings a person to acknowledge of Christ, and says, "This is what I came for. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Of course, Jesus knew the depths into which people can fall when they're lost. We saw so much of that in the video this morning of places on the mission field where people are in terrible darkness and depravity. But one can be lost without being in terrible darkness and depravity. One can be in a very polite society and be lost. Being lost is being without God, without hope in the world. And Jesus realized that that's where people are. And apart from him coming to rescue them, they will remain lost forever. They are without God, without hope in the world. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." We're looking at this passage in the saving of Zacchaeus, but really we have in our mind, as we look at it, the fact that being lost and saving those that are lost was something that occupied the Lord Jesus' mind much more than just here. We refer to Luke chapter 15 as the lost and found department of the book of Luke. There are three parables that he told to talk about things that are lost and things that are found. Now that's an earlier chapter. We don't know the exact chronological order of everything that's given in the Bible, but he has those things on his mind. And here's an example of a man that's saved, that's rescued. And he says, "That's what I came for, to seek and to save that which was lost." And so what I'd like to do this morning is not just focus on this passage, but I want to focus in your mind on the other. Because you know the three parables that have to do with that which is lost and is found. You already have those in your mind. We don't need to go back to them. We can go back to them in our mind. And remember the three things that were lost. Now, we're going to look at them in a different order than what's there. We're going to look first at the one that fell through the cracks, and then the one that wandered away, and then the one that determined to flee from God. And those are three pictures clearly in the Lord's mind. Perhaps they characterize everybody that is lost and needs to be saved. Those that fell through the cracks, those that wandered away, and those that determined to go away. All of them lost, all of them without hope, without God in the world, and Jesus coming to rescue them. We want to look at that this morning, and so we're going to look in that situation, Jesus' view of the lost, how he found Zacchaeus, and how he found us. Those are the things we're going to think about. Jesus' view of the lost, how he found Zacchaeus and how he found us. And may the Lord enable us to think about that and be deeply thankful that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're looking then at that verse in verse 10, chapter 19 of Luke and verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. We thank you, great God, that you came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, lived the perfect life that we couldn't live, died on the cross to pay for our sins, rose again from the dead for our justification, and are even now at the right hand of God, giving forth your Spirit to them that ask. We ask for the Spirit of God today. As we focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray that you will enlarge our minds and hearts to see, to appreciate him. O Lord, may our whole meditation today be a worship of the one who came to seek and to save the lost, a reviving of our thankfulness that you were pleased to save us, and a challenge to those in our midst who might not yet be saved, who still might be lost. For indeed, there could be some in our midst that are lost. Grant grace today, Lord. Speak by your Holy Spirit. Speak through your word in a powerful way to our hearts. Help us, we pray. We'd ask your blessing and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus' view of what it is to be lost. Well, we know he had those three parables that showed what he thought lost is. And there are many who are lost in three different ways. And I think, I'm wondering if one could categorize all the conditions of lostness under those three. Is there something more comprehensive about Luke 15 than we might have noticed? People, and I want to look first at the ones that fell through the cracks. And you know, of course, I'm meaning the one that the coin was lost, and the woman ransacked the house to find it. The coin was lost. Well, there are those that have fallen through the cracks. They just got left out. They're not where they were kept. They should be kept. They slipped out of reach. They're not where they should have been. But it just seemed to happen that way. There doesn't seem to be any volition on the part of the coin. It just happened that it's lost. And how many people there are today that are lost? They just never heard. They just never were told. They just never were reached. We're in an age where more and more, I think, every year will come upon people who didn't hear about God and reject him and go astray. They never heard. Who didn't sort of know the truth and casually wander from it, they didn't know. It's amazing that people do not know the gospel. Even in America, we find an amazing number of people who are entirely ignorant of the gospel. They just fell through the cracks. Nobody told them. You're never going to know without being told. It isn't something you'll come up with by your study unless something moves you to study the scriptures. But you'll never come up with it apart from being told. And there's some that just were never told. And it is rather astonishing because we come from a Christian enough background that we kind of imagine surely they know something about Jesus. But we have people, young people around us that know virtually nothing about him. And the little they hear is to reject him. They're lost. And they're lost by just falling through the cracks. These are lost through what happened to them, more than through their choice. They don't even realize how valuable they are until somebody finds them and people rejoice. Many a person in our world that has no idea how valuable they are. They're as ignorant as the coin that's lost. No idea of the value of their persons. No idea of the fact that they're worth anything. But it's somebody who seeks to save them, who goes after them, who gathers them, who finds them, and rejoices over them. They're the ones that tell people how much they're worth. Many people don't even realize how valuable they are. They are just lost. They fell through the cracks. And Jesus speaks of the joy in the midst of the angels in heaven over those that were lost and now are found. Well, the other category in Jesus' thinking is those that have wandered away. Now, that actually comes first in the list there in Luke, but you remember it well. We're not really turning to the passage. The ones that wandered away, the sheep that wandered away. It's not that he wasn't part of the shepherd's fold and he somehow had a knowledge of it, but he didn't value it enough to hang around and they sort of just wandered. And there are people that are far from God and desperately lost who just wandered away. They weren't wickedly determining to go away and to prove any point. It's just that they were following the impulses and ordinary appetites of people. They were forgetting the shepherd and thinking that they could make it alone, distracted by the world around them, just wandering, clueless with regard to the things of God, in terrible danger, but clueless. And there are those that have something of a Christian background, but as far as the things of God, are clueless. It's amazing to see that when you teach in a school and see people that come from Christian homes and seem to know something, and yet their minds and hearts are elsewhere, and their thoughts are elsewhere, and their desires are elsewhere. And when it comes to the reality of what it is to know God, they're clueless. They're lost. And we have many in our day. A great number, I think, of those that just fell through the cracks. Never knew they were valuable. Didn't know what happened. Never were told. And then we have those that have wandered away. Maybe you're one that wandered away for a long time, until God by his mercy found you. Well, there are many of those who have wandered away, like the sheep that are lost. And Jesus is conscious that some are lost by a determined departure from God. They know what God requires and they won't have it. And sometimes Christian parents weep over having a child who knows what's right, won't have it. Determined to go astray. Intending to do so. Making it a point of doing so. Showing off in doing so. Dreadful. Breaks the heart of people. Breaks the heart of Christ. They determined to go away. Well, those are the three categories of loss. And we can think about whether there's anybody that's not in one of those categories. Well, the Lord has saved you. What category were you in? You were lost. Not because necessarily you did anything, it just happened to you. You were born into the world, and under the curse of sin, you continued there and didn't have those that cared about you, that spoke to you about Christ, didn't have anybody to tell you. And you went through years, perhaps, with really not knowing until somebody said something and things began to work in your life. Well, there might be some in our midst who just fell through the cracks, and it wasn't until a day you can very well remember when God was pleased to send somebody who brought to you the gospel in such a way that you saw and you were rescued. You can remember that, perhaps. Maybe there's others in our midst that wandered. You know you came from a good Christian home. You knew what you should do, but you just got interested in other things and were distracted and allured by other things that were there, and it seemed that things were valuable. And well, what does make a sheep wander? It looks like something good. Doesn't realize he's in terrible danger, but looks like something good he's following. Maybe that's where you were. I think that's where Zacchaeus was. I think he'd wandered away. He was a Jew. He'd wandered away. And Jesus reached out to this one that had wandered. Maybe that's the experience that you have. Wandered away. And God, by his mercy, you can think back to your own experience, how God, by his mercy, found you. Where you were, you'd wandered a long way, but he found you. And so you're deeply thankful that though you were lost, now you're found. And you remember that. People have different experiences, different ways of remembering. And maybe among us, even today, are those that know what it was like to determine that you're not going to follow Christ. Determined that you're going to have your own way. Determined that you're going to live for yourself. Determined that you're not going to have any of that bother. And God saved you. What did he do to save you? He sought you and found you. And you were rescued. You that were lost were rescued. Well, the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And though we can see the terrible consequences of being lost in the lives of people, and we can see the dreadful circumstances that they get themselves into and the terrible conditions in which they live, we can see all of that and realize all of that is not a part of what lostness is. It's a consequence of lostness. The real problem is that they're without God and without hope in the world. And we know there are those that are surrounded by Christian things and surrounded by Christian ceremonies and surrounded by Christian activities that are still lost. Because they're without God. They know the words. They speak the words. They go through the motions. they're without God and without hope in the world. And Jesus came for such. And we see such around us. And Jesus is the one that came to save. So whatever category we're in today, we can say, Jesus found me. Are you a Christian? I'm speaking to you as a Christian. I'm speaking to you as one that has been born again by the Spirit of God. One who has seen your sin and recognized that you deserve the judgment that you got. But Jesus has mercy on sinners. And you look to God and said, Lord, forgive me. Receive me. Find me. Bring me. Save me. In whatever way you use to express it, you knew that you needed Christ. Well, that's who I'm speaking to. Is that true for you? I'll address that again before the end, but why wait until the end to challenge? Do you know Christ? Is it reality for you? There's so many things that can go on in your life that seem to be religious, but are not the reality of knowing Christ. Do you know Christ? Well, I speak to those that do. And I can say that you're probably in one of those categories. Either one that fell through the cracks until by the grace of God somebody found you and was used by God's Spirit to bring you to Christ. Or you may be one that wandered away and God by His mercy rescued you. Or you may be one who ate among the pigs and finally woke up. This is not what I want. And God brought you back to Himself. Well, we wanted to look at that, and we want to, in doing so, look at Zacchaeus. Now, I would suggest Zacchaeus was one that wandered away. He knew the things of God. He was a Jew. His facility with the language obviously made him able to talk to the Jews and tell them what they owed the Romans. Not everybody learned Greek in order to get along. You learned the necessary amount you needed, but we need the Jewish people who are talking to the Jews and getting the money that we want. That was the viewpoint of the Romans. And so they hired Jews who were willing to be traitors to their own people, working for the enemy and collecting taxes. Hated because of that. Hated for many reasons. Maybe they had personalities that could get money from people. Hated for that reason. They were hated people. But they probably had just wandered away. They probably had just didn't continue and take seriously the things of God. And opportunity came to work and went followed that opportunity. And that opened up an opportunity with somebody else. And then person said, hey, you ought to be a tax collector. And I hadn't thought of that. And onward you get in. That's probably what happened to Zacchaeus. He probably didn't determine, I'm going to depart from God and choose tax collecting. He probably kept a fairly respectable life otherwise, and he probably just wandered and put his heart in doing something wrong. He wandered away. Jesus found him. Jesus brought him, first of all, near himself. That's the wonderful picture of what we see Jesus doing here in Jericho. He gets to a place where Jesus is near Zacchaeus. Now, Jesus knows he's going to get Zacchaeus. He's going after him. Remember when the Lord Jesus had to go through Samaria? It said he had to take that route. Well, why did he have to go through Samaria? That's down in the south. But why did he have to go there? Because there was a woman he was going to save at the well. And he was going to manifest his glory there. And here he's come to Jericho, and he has someone to save. And so he orders it that they're nearby where Jesus is coming. And I don't know how old he was, but this short man was curious. Not particularly interested spiritually. He just wondered about this new person that came to town. Everybody's talking about him. He wanted to see him, and obviously couldn't see him because he was too short. And he did something that a grown man would probably not do. Probably if you were in a place you couldn't see, you wouldn't climb a tree to see something because you'd feel so foolish. But he doesn't seem to worry about that. He's got to the point where it doesn't matter much whether people think he's foolish. He's got the power and he's got the money he wants. But he wants to see Jesus. Jesus worked in him a curiosity. He just wanted to know. Wanted to see. And when he went to see, he was put in the spotlight. Climbed up to be inconspicuous and to look to see Jesus. And Jesus turned the spotlight to him and showed who he was. And put him on the spot so that Jesus involved himself in Zacchaeus' life. Jesus came in. Jesus took the initiative. Did anything like that happen to you? There was a time when Jesus took the initiative and invited himself into your life. There's a wonderful authority in this. Taking the initiative, inviting himself into a person's life. Well, he does that with Zacchaeus. Beautiful picture of saving one who probably had just wandered off, but he brought him near to his person, used Zacchaeus' personal curiosity to open the door, put him under the spotlight, and invited himself into Zacchaeus' life. And having done so, Jesus remembered, that's what I came for. That's what I came for. I came to bring people to myself. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And of course, that brings us to think, what did he do for you? That's what I'd like us to be meditating on in terms of these things. It's not a complicated and difficult passage. Not hard to figure out what it is to be lost. Some of you know well what it is to be lost. You well remember how you did not know God and are not happy at all with the kind of things you were involved in, the kind of things you did. Remember well that situation. Granted, there may be those who came to Christ at a very early age that felt their lostness and came to Christ at an early age and really can't remember consciously any time that they didn't desire Jesus. But that's not the case with all of us. We remember when we were far from God. How did God find you? What did he do? What means did he use? Were you like one who had fallen through the cracks? Just missed out on everything? Just didn't hear? But finally you did hear. Did someone keep looking till they found you? Are you a Christian because someone wouldn't give up? And they shared with you and they spoke to you and challenged you and told you the value that you had and mentioned how Christ wanted them and how important they were. Was that the case with you? Did you have somebody that began to make you feel like you were important and that it mattered whether you lived or died? And there's somebody that came to want to save you. Did somebody do that for you? I mean, we obviously aren't going to open it up with testimonies. We could have testimonies tonight probably. But not going to open up with testimonies, but could you give one of how there was somebody that didn't want you to perish, believed the gospel, and went after you, tried to find you? Some people can say they know who it was. They know who it was. They'll appreciate it for the rest of their life. Somebody did that. Did that happen to you? Well, then you were maybe one that fell through the cracks, didn't even realize the value of your own life, but somebody came after you. Somebody brought the gospel. Somebody wanted you to know. Maybe you were herded along to a Good News Club as a child and because somebody wanted to kid to bring as many kids as he could. So you were brought along. Looked like it might be fun. What was this? Good News what? Well, anyway, you went. And somebody cared about you. And somebody made you know you were valuable. And somebody told you that Jesus wanted you. And somebody appealed to you to seek the Lord. And it was like Christ pushing himself into your life. And you embraced him. What a wonderful thing. What a power the gospel has to rescue those who fell through the cracks. That's wonderfully encouraging in our own day because there's a lot of people out there that fell through the cracks. It's astonishing how ignorant people are of who Christ is. It's like going into one of the missionary places that we see in this video that we've been watching in the morning, so powerful and wonderful. Going in and somebody needs to go into this world and meet people, make friends, talk about Jesus, because people are ignorant. They fell through the cracks. They didn't get it. They never heard it. They don't know it. You can't refer to things as if, oh, you know this and you know that. You've got to tell them they never heard about that. That's surprising in a Christian school sometimes when you bring up some subject from the Bible that it seems like 20 years ago every kid would have at least known this and kids never heard it. And you have opportunity to speak because somehow they're in danger of falling through the cracks. Maybe they have fallen through the cracks. Well, anyway, were you like one who had fallen through the cracks? Perhaps in our day we'll see more and more of those who just don't get reached. And we need to say, they're valuable. They're worth finding. We're going after them. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And maybe God could use you in the life of somebody that is like you. Lost in that way. Somebody came to you. Could you go to somebody? What will move you to reach out to people in Christ? Remember how you were saved. What was the means used to bring you to Christ? Then do it. You know, you're the expert of that then. reach out to the one that was just as bad as you were, and somebody came and brought the gospel to you. Maybe God would use you or me in somebody's life, even in our day. Or perhaps you knew something of the fold, but you just wandered away. You pursued what you thought would be nice to have. You followed inner impulses and desires. You just wanted your own way. Perhaps there are people here in our day, around us, that you could lead to Jesus. You know what that's like. You know what it's like to wander. You know what it's like to get distracted by the world's things. You know what it's like to get fooled by the world and drawn in. You remember you did that yourself. And you marvel that someone reached you. Someone came and brought the word to you. How did it happen with you? Maybe you're in that category. Well, if you're in that category, then that's the kind of person you can reach, isn't it? It's the kind of person you'll have a particular ability to reach because you know where they are. You know why they're there. And you can speak to them from your experience. Now, obviously, if you encounter somebody who fell through the cracks, then speak as one that fell through the cracks as much as you can. But there may be those that God would bring you near, who are pretty much like where you were, and you can be used to bring them to Christ. Or it may be that you're like the prodigal son, and God did save you, but you had to get to the end of your rope. Your whole life had to fall apart. You had to see how empty and meaningless and worthless everything was. You had to be maybe on the verge of thinking to commit suicide. You had to be at the end before finally you woke up. What was the means that brought you? What did Jesus do? We know in every case, God is working. God is putting a person in a circumstance and then bringing somehow a rescue. What could it have been? You know, if you hear on the, listen to PGM at least, there are little unshackled things. They knew little one-minute unshackled stories where somebody was just desperately lost and God saved them. And that's the thing they're doing. They do have their program, I think, but they have their little vignettes of people that could testify that this is where they are and God saved them. And again, a person in terrible sin, rebellion, resistance of God, God touches them. God brings them to a knowledge of himself. It could be one of those radio things that would hit you. You're driving along, you hear that. You say, that's where I am. That's what's wrong with me. That's what I did. And God is using that in that little turn of the dial, using to bring you to a message that calls you to himself. Maybe some of you were saved in that kind of way. The message came, who knows where, came when you were at a point of just about ready to give up. Well, if you were there, then you're a good person to be one to call out to those that are in that place. Because there are other people, maybe putting on as good a show as you did. You know what it was like to put on such a good show as if everything's going fine and it's a mess inside. You know what that's like, maybe. Because often the person that is in the pigsty doesn't show it to everybody. They show a pretty good facade and they look like they're doing pretty well and they want to impress people that they're doing fine, and finally they have to face it's not true. I am a mess. I am hopeless. And you might have come to that. Some people have more dramatic conversions than others. But what one did you have? Well, then maybe you're the one to reach people who are in that state. Maybe you can pick up the vibes to see. You know where they are. And the person that's swaggering, you know what it is to swagger. The person that's acting like everything's together, you know what it is to act like everything's together. When inside there's an emptiness and wasteland and a hunger and a thirst. So speak to them. You can say, I know where you're coming from. Jesus is able to save you. And maybe you'll be like Jesus in inviting yourself into their life. Maybe that's what's needed. Well, in any case, Jesus has a desire to seek and to save that which was lost. And perhaps we're like one of those. We're probably in one of those categories. You're probably either one that fell through the cracks, or one that wandered away, or one that determined to go away. But God in his mercy rescued you. And it was Jesus doing it. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why you're saved, because he saved you. You're not saved because somebody was sharp enough to argue you into salvation. That would be no good at all. All you need then is to wait until somebody can argue better and you're out. But no, Jesus came. Jesus used that to bring you to himself. And you're knowing that may be the means whereby you'll be able to reach somebody else for the Lord Jesus. because Jesus is still seeking and saving that which is lost. He may use you to draw near to the one who just have never heard, or near to the one who wandered away, or near to the one that is determined to go away. God may use you. He may use you to urge the one who's destroyed himself to return to the Lord, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he was interested in the guy that had ruined his life, the prodigal son. He was interested in the one that had just gotten himself into terrible danger through being clueless. And he was interested in the one that never heard, fell through the cracks. Jesus is interested in seeking and saving that which was lost. Lost people all around us. We sing sometimes in the evening more than in the morning. People need the Lord. You can see it. Recognize they're lost. And maybe some are lost in just the way you were lost. And God can use you to bring them to himself. God put you in a place where you can speak. May God enliven our imagination with regard to that. And give us the desire to be more useful in the world in which we live. How can I speak to the people that I'm with? How can I reach out and call them to the Lord? There are lost people all around us. What kind of lost are they? Can we be Jesus' voice to call them to himself? And what about the people gathered here today? I refer to you. Ones that still are not saved are lost. Without God, without hope in the world. Maybe some even today that recognize that that's where they are. Without God and without hope in the world. And it wasn't really because anybody did anything. It's just because you just never knew, never heard. I'm thankful you're here today. But are there people that fell through the cracks and are here? Now, probably not as many of those in our midst. Because if you'd completely fallen through the cracks, you wouldn't even had anybody invite you to come. And I don't think there's anybody here that just walked in random off the street. I've walked random off the street into churches before and heard messages that spoke to me. And people have done that. The people that have been saved, they're going by and they say, I wonder what's going on in there. And they peek their head in and God gets them and brings them in. That could happen. And there could be such this morning, but I don't think there are. I think I recognize most everybody enough to say, no, you're not among that category that you fell through the cracks and never heard. Praise God that people didn't let you fall through the cracks. Somebody cared about you. Somebody spoke to you. Somebody urged you to come to Christ. Somebody let you know the gospel. You didn't fall through the cracks. You're not lost for that reason. You're lost because you just wandered away. Maybe there could be such a person here today. Lost because you just wandered away. Know the way you should have gone, didn't go. Recognize you might have, should have made certain choices, didn't make them. Kind of made your life empty and not really any point to it. Just a wandering sort of life. Spiritually, people can be there. Maybe there could be that one here today that just wandered away. And you've never come to the reality. And you're without God and without hope in the world. Jesus came for you. He came to bring you to himself. And so you're here today. Come to Christ today. Jesus has come to tell you where you are and to call you to come to himself. He doesn't want you to perish. And he just purposed. Now, I don't know that this is the case because I can never see what a person hears or what they're thinking when any message goes forth. I don't know. But it could be there's somebody who really is lost. They just wandered away. They're not where they should be. No, they're not. And they know there's a lot of talk about God and they don't really have it as a reality in their lives. And they know that. And they just come and go through the motions and are friendly and do like the people, but haven't got Christ. Is that the case with some here today? Could possibly be people even here. People that I know very well, because I think I know all of you. But I don't know your hearts. And God could be pleased to work in such a way to make you see you need Jesus. He's found you today. He's brought you to himself. Well, he calls you to himself. And he purposed you to be here. And he purposed you to hear that in order that it might be the means of bringing you from darkness to light. So come to Christ today. Call upon him. Believe in him. If you're in that category, then believe in Christ today. And there could be. And I don't know. There could be those that are not going to have him. You go through the motions, do what you have to do. See kids at school, I think, especially when they go to a Christian school and they hear it. But you can see within, there is no intention to hear. and no intention to follow. It grieves the teachers. As you look out, you see a chapel service, and you see some that seem determined not to do what you're so longing for them to do. Well, there could be such here today. You'd keep it quiet, but you're not going. Jesus sent me to tell you that he calls you to himself. And he tells you, don't wait until you're in the pigsty. And don't wait until everything is so fallen apart that you're an absolute mess. Don't wait until the end. Don't wait until disaster. But come to Christ. And he wants me to tell you, come to him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He wanted me to assure you that he'd receive you. I'm commissioned to say, Jesus will take you, will receive you, bad as you are, and he'll transform your life and make you the kind of person you ought to have been. Jesus will do that, and he's commissioned me to tell you. And I assure you it's true. I assure you he will not turn you away. He said he'll never turn away anyone that comes to him. Never. That text that talks about in no ways will he reject anybody has seven negatives in it, because it says in no way will God reject you. Come to him today. If you're in that midst of somebody that basically has fought and fought and fought, like the prodigal son, make this the very last time. Give up and come back. And it may be that just talking about the lost, maybe God would have some here that need saving. You'd be a little embarrassed to tell people that you have never been really converted until now. You'd like to think, well, you've been playing a game for so long, you were hoping they believed you. And a little embarrassing to have to say, you know, I never was saved, but God has been pleased to open my eyes. Say it. Come. It won't be just the angels in heaven that are rejoicing. I assure you will be rejoicing and wonderfully praising God for what he's done. Angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. You may be among the distracted, the ignorant, the determined, whoever it is. What kind of lost person are you? You are one that God's calling today and urging you to come to him. Come to Christ. Believe in Jesus. Turn from your way. Come to his way. Recognize your sin. Recognize that your problems are your sin. Recognize that you've cut yourself off, and come to Jesus today. Well, may the Lord use this to think through the different ways of being lost, so that we can think, how was I when God saved me? And what means did he use? And then realize, I can be used in that way in a person's life. May he lift our missionary vision to save the kind of people that were what we are. Or at least to know the different things, then know what we need to do. There's a person that's ignorant. Then they're one that fell through the cracks. Let's rescue them. Or there's somebody that's wandered and gotten really messed on a bad road. Rescue them. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Or we may encounter one that's hostile. Rescue them. Jesus saw hostile people. Rescue them is his concern. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. For whatever reason you're lost, look this morning to Christ and come to him. There's a wonderful hymn that we're not going to sing this hymn, but remember the wonderful verse. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Do you feel that today? Welcome. Come to him. This he gives you. It's the Spirit's rising beam. May God remind us of those things and make us instruments to reach out to people that fall into any one of these categories. I think there are more and more in our age of the first category that I mentioned, the ones that fell through the cracks. Let's go for them. Let's go after them. Let's see how we can reach them. Let's see what we can do. Because Jesus came for this, may we be used of him to accomplish that. May God lift our vision in that way. And of course, when we look at something like the videos we're seeing in the morning, be deeply thankful that there are people that realize there are people that fell through the cracks and I'm going after them. And they give their life to reach those that are lost. Wonderfully encouraging. But it ought to be encouraging in such a way that it moves us more to pray that that might be accomplished. And maybe some to go, even as we see people go. To go and to reach the people that are lost. Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this simple message from your word. Lord Jesus, we look around us and we see people that are lost everywhere. And generally, they are lost for one of those reasons. They fell through the cracks. They wandered away. They determined to depart. But Lord, we know you came to save such. We would pray if there be any in our midst that are in that category, even now, not yet saved, would this be a means of bringing them? It's a very weak means, Lord, but don't you delight to use the weak to save the things that are strong, or to shame the things that are strong? Work, Lord. We pray, work in power to save men and women, boys and girls. Bring them to yourself. Lord, help us to have a vision for reaching out to the community in which we live and recognize the condition of the people around us and see whether they are those in complete ignorance, whether those that are wandering foolishly, whether those that are determined, and go after them because you came to seek and to save such. You give us commission to go after them. Help us, Lord, to want to do so. And then we pray you'll help us to be thankful that there once we were, and by your grace, you sent somebody to reach us. You didn't want us to perish. Somebody saw us in our need and came to minister the word to us. Oh, Lord, thank you for the means you used to bring us to yourself. We worship you. We bless you. We lift our hearts to you. We exalt your great name together. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and work all things after the counsel of your will to bring men and women, boys and girls to yourself. Work in our midst even now and through us in the midst of this community for the glory of Jesus' name. We ask it in his name. Amen.